Say hello to the bad guy. The good guy coming last place. You smell that dope when I pass by. I let my money at a fast pace. All right, we're back. So this is part two of the Kid Twist story. So I got us a drink to try out. So this is a Roke. It's the Royal Oak Brewery. We've all talked about it. We've had it on the show a lot. We usually get the French Toast Stout. This came in this new variety pack that I got, and it's the Peanut Butter Stout. Or Roke Peanut Butter Cup Stout. But I also had this Clout King Peanut Butter Cup pre-roll. So I just thought, look, I'm a fat kid at heart and shit. And I felt like everything else also.
No, I mean, you're skinnier than me. I don't know what the fuck I was saying.
I'm a fat kid in everything. But yeah, I couldn't resist doing peanut butter cup beer. Well, and I know you like Roke, and I only had a couple, so I figured we'd all drink one and shit. But what do you guys think?
It's good. I like it. It's like a reverse, like when you first taste it, it's like you get a little hint of peanut butter, but it's not really there. But the aftertaste is more peanut butter. It's like the aftertaste gets better. I like it.
Yeah, I've had a couple. This is a good one, man. It's balanced, and it does a good job of hiding the alcohol. And, you know, man, I like dark beers, so I'm never gonna hate one. But it's not, I guess, thick. I don't know how to say it. It's almost easy drinking for being as flavorful and, like, dark as it is.
Yeah, so Roke's got a 12-pack that you can get where it's four of each beer, and it's got a oatmeal stout, a peanut butter cup stout, and the French toast stout. Highly recommend it if you like dark beers. All right, well, when we left off, Kid Twist had took over what was the Monk Eastman gang. It's still mostly referred to the Monk Eastman gang. Monk Eastman's just in prison, but they don't really have the Tammany Hall back and no more. What's weird is because it seems like at some point maybe he did start working with him again. I'd just rather stay away from it. I know he was working for the Republican Party earlier. But when I covered Monk Eastman, I know when he went to jail that was kind of the breakup with that. So
either you need to find a good sound. Whenever those things happen, you need to find a good sound that's like mocking all of your haters that you're not a historian. And then just insert that sound every time.
Do like a... not this, but to the effect, remember on Wayne's World when they do the doodle-doo-doo-doo-doo? Yeah. Yeah. Just so that you know, anything that happens within here. All right, we did the magic fucking spirit fingers, dude.
You do realize that most people are not, well, I guess your audience is about our age, right? Because younger people, they're really like, Wayne's it's World, mostly, what is that? What is the Wayne's World?
Yeah, it's 20 to 50-year-old dudes. That's the audience. And, yeah. Like, I don't know, 9% female. So that's not too bad, I think.
I think that's up from the last time you told me. We're doing good.
Here's the thing, is it got smaller. We don't have less female listeners. It's just as it grows faster.
Gotcha.
With male listeners than it does with females. Mm-hmm. But we still have female listeners, people. You know. A lot of women like the true crime.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of true crime stops at, you know, the serial killers and the, you know what I mean? Stuff like that. But a lot of women are into true crime, and a lot of true crime is in gangsters and shit, so.
I think it's because you haven't had Lorraine McClain on enough, and that's the issue. So if you have her on, and then the women will listen.
Now, I'm going to have to leave that in, and she's going to tell me, I'm going to have to hear it all the time. And every time she tells me, I'm going to be like, I should just edit that out. He starts trying to focus on this more organized crime aspect and trying to make money with this gang as opposed to just fist fighting in the street. Killing was bad for business. So one of his early scams, he had a local print shop make counterfeit New York Central Railroad train tickets. And then they'd sell it through their youngest gang members at scalpers. Just out on the street. And it was just cash, hand over fist, just cheap tickets. They looked good.
Yeah, there's no barcode scanner. There's no fucking none of that shit, man. If it looked good enough, it could pass. That's cool.
Yeah, exactly. No, like, they got so much stuff and everything now. You know, the technology, I mean, forget about just, even if you look at, of course, money, you know, they kept enhancing. It's like, okay, there's a little hologram in there. Okay, this part is shiny. Okay, we literally have a strip in between the paper, right? It's like, right. You know, it just keeps getting better and better. But like you said, with tickets, now with the scans and everything else, yeah, things are getting sophisticated.
So he ran that scam, made thousands of dollars for a long time. You know, he's raking in the money. And he ended up getting busted in the spring of 1905. He got charged with forgery. He was caught with $4,000 worth of tickets. $4,000. I actually, my calculator didn't go back to 1905. I could only go back to 1913. So, but in 1913, mm-hmm. that would have had $120,000 in spending okay. power.
Nice.
Damn. Yeah. Well, and they didn't catch him with all of it.
All of it, right. So he had sold some.
Right.
And that's at, you know, you say 1905, so he's 21.
Yeah.
It's big money.
Yeah. Oh, and that's one thing I didn't say. So he took over the Monk Eastman gang. He took over one of the biggest gangs in New York history at 20 years old.
Yeah.
You know, Capone took over the Chicago Outfit at 26,
mm-hmm.
which is crazy.
Yeah.
Now, the Chicago Outfit's bigger than the Monk Eastman gang, but 20's a lot younger than 26.
It is. It's pretty impressive.
And I mean, that was an action-packed, like, 5 years, you know, 6 years that we went over in the first half of the story. You know what I mean? It's his 20 to 25, and especially how he did it. You know, we've had plenty of stories where they just do it with force and just violence and shit. That was the thing that he was opposite of, which is what's, you know, intriguing to me.
Good point. Like, the maturity at that young of an age to really be able to take over a big gang like that, strategically set everything up, and, you know, even, you know, as we talked about with the, you know, older guys, he didn't want to just go to war with them like most young, power-hungry people would be. He really wanted to work it out, so... Yeah, good point.
He ended up never being convicted on the crimes. So he wanted to try and start making legal money. It's easier to spend. So he acquired a bottling plant, and he started distributing his own brand of celery tonic with pictures of him on the bottle to the Jewish community.
The fuck is a celery tonic?
I love this guy.
So S-A-L-A-R-Y?
Yeah, celery.
Celery, like a celery stick, celery. A vegetable. Okay.
Yeah. All right. That's good for what ails you.
Celery tonic.
All right. Probably chopped up some celery and put it in some tonic water and put it in a bottle with his face.
That's some kind of shit that my grandma would have told me when I was younger. Like, I have a goddamn celery pop. What do you mean? Coca-Cola.
I don't want a celery pop, Grandma.
Yeah. Or like the Simpsons, like Calca Rash and crab juice and shit. Like some, that's like a fucking beverage that before today, I would have told you I thought didn't even exist. Fucking celery tonic and shit. That's great.
Remember, Frankie Yale did that with cigars. Like he started a cigar company and put his face on the cigar. And they're like, yep, Frankie Yale cigars.
There you go.
And tonic and seltzer water is real big in the Jewish community too, so... Okay, I know people that need a lot of tonic. And he thought it was pretty good, too, because he charged a lot for it.
I mean, it's at this point, it's a miracle drink. So, you know, you're not paying the cost of a cola. You're paying the cost of a medicine. This is going to help you. That's what you don't understand, Locke. This is going to help change your life.
I wonder if they use, like, the normal... organized crime tactics to get it into like stores and stuff. They're like, hey, look, this shit sucks, man. No, I don't want to say, like, oh, you're taking it. Like,
you have no choice.
We're delivering two more cases.
Exactly. As a matter of fact, you're on an auto ship.
So that's exactly what they do. Is they, yeah. They set them up on a subscription. Everybody's on a subscription basis, yeah, exactly. Which, for the record, the subscription plan is the primary business model. It's the way to go. And they charged a lot, and they were like, well, no, it's real good, though, so just sell it for a lot. And at one point, like, people didn't say no, but one store owner that refused, Kid Twista showed up himself and smashed up his store and then started ripping it down, like, structurally to the studs and shit.
Holy shit.
And then after that, everybody's like, all right, just, I guess,
yeah, we'll sell
put the cases of celery tonic. In the back every Wednesday, I guess. Thanks.
So we finally found out what Kid Twist is ready to go to war for. It's a fucking celery pop and shit. You better drink that shit and sell that shit, motherfucker.
Well, it was his legal money.
Right, yeah. All right.
You know, it's legal. I make celery tonic.
Yeah.
I sell it to stores. Yeah. It's legal.
Sounds good to me.
Better buy some of my celery fucking tonic.
If I was into legal stuff, would I put my face on the bottle, officer?
After he showed up like fucking, was that Ty the Carpenter from fucking HGTV and shit on a demo day? You ever see where that guy got called out by Adam Carolla?
No, I didn't.
So Adam Carolla, I mean, whatever you think about him or whatever, before when he was coming into the business, he was a carpenter. Mm-hmm. Like on a, like he worked on a construction site, worked his way up. And that Ty was on all those shows as he was always the carpenter and shit. And he was on Loveline or whatever promoting his thing. And at one point, Adam Carolla said something. He made a joke about a nailing schedule. And the guy just looked at him and he's like, what are you talking about? He's like, you know, a nailing schedule. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I don't get it. And he's like, it's a carpentry thing. And it turns out it is a carpentry thing. Like if you're a carpenter, if you know what you're doing, you know what a nailing schedule means. And it's like a typical thing. And it turns out he's not a carpenter. He's never been. He was an actor. And when he went to L.A., at some point he had worked on a construction crew.
Yeah.
So he had a work belt or whatever. So he would just go to the set and put on his thing and go over there and read the lines like, yeah, what we're going to do is cut this and da-da-da-da. And then they cut off the camera and then the real carpenters and the people would do the stuff and fix it.
Damn. Sure. That's how the early days of a lot of those car shows used to be too. You know, most of those people didn't know what they were doing. They were actors, actresses, and the whole thing was look good and we have the real people do it. As far as the, like, carpenters and stuff like that, the only guy that always seemed super legit was, I forget his name, the guy from Canada. Guy, he had,
Holmes on Holmes?
Yeah, Holmes, yeah. Oh, he seems really legit. But most of the other ones, like, even if it was entertaining, you could tell they were a little bit of a hack.
No, that guy specific, though, I know exactly what you're talking about, man. I used to laugh. My wife would eat that shit up, too. For obvious reasons, right? But...
So after that, every shop owner took their allotted share of Kid Twist's Celery Tonic without complaint.
Number one bestseller.
It's so ridiculous. We've covered a lot of ridiculous scams.
Yeah.
But I really think the Kid Twist Celery Tonic scam is like some...
Well, this isn't a scam. It's legit. Well,
yeah, the business.
Yeah, this is legit money now.
He would also strong arm any gambling operations in his territory. So if you were anywhere within his like vicinity, he'd move in. There was a game called Stuss, which is like, I don't know if you ever heard of the game Pharaoh.
Never heard it either.
Neither one, yeah.
So Pharaoh is like what they used to play like out west a lot. Mm-hmm. Like in the old cowboy movies. Game? Yeah.
Oh, it's okay. Like maybe I do know a little bit about it.
Yeah. It's some, I think it's what they play in Tombstone.
Okay.
Remember they have their business, as a Pharaoh table. It's a Jewish version of Pharaoh, which I heard is actually just a harder version of Pharaoh. It just, the odds are more geared towards the house. And I'm like, I don't know. I feel like that joke writes itself.
More money for us, less money for you.
So this guy, Charles Greenwich, is running a Stuss game. And I think it might have been... some kind of a mix of issues besides just the gambling den, because this guy's nickname was the Bottler.
He was trying to move in on the celery business.
So, and you know you can't have that.
Can't have that.
So, I don't know that for sure, but I do know that this guy's nickname is the Bottler, and it just seems like screw me once, you know, screw me twice. But he's running this underground Stuss gang. Kid Twist finds out. So Kid Twist approaches him and he tells him, my boy Harris Stahl is now 50-50 owners of your Stuss gang. And this guy's like, dude, I got boys with the 5 Points gang. And shit, don't come in here and strong arm me. And he's like, well, here's your partner, Harris Stahl. You work it out. He's in for half your business now. And this guy don't like it, but he puts up with it.
Oh, damn. All right.
So he's like, all
right, fuck well, it. Well, I mean, that was a negotiation, right? He's like, hey, man, I got fellas with this gang. He's like, okay, yeah, I see no problem with that, but you got to take it up with your partner. You're 50-50 now. Yeah, right, yeah. This isn't my decision.
I'm sorry. You're talking to the wrong guy.
Hey, what was that guy's name? The original owner of this dust game?
Charles Greenwich.
No nickname, though, on Charles Greenwich.
The Bottler.
Oh, okay. Bottler. See, yeah. Another thing right there. Harry did not have a motherfucking nickname, bro. He is not playing games, dude. He is.
Sorry. What's your nickname? Harry, half owner of your card game stall.
Harry Stahl owns a card game now.
So, card game goes good. They make it work. A couple weeks later, Kid Twist comes back and he tells him, he's like, you know what? You're not holding up your half. I'm putting in my other guy over here. And then Harry Stahl is going to just run this thing now.
You know, as 50-50 partners, you have to bring something to the table. Right. And we just don't feel like you're applying yourself.
We can't carry you.
Like Big Worm and Smokey. You're not applying yourself, Smokey. Got to get somebody else out here.
So Charles Greenwich, he's like, I ain't no fucking punk. He boards up his business. He's like, fuck you. How about that? I'll just board up my whole fucking business. Oh, shit.
Okay.
2 weeks later, Harris Stahl chased Charles Greenwich down the street and gunned him down.
Mm. All right.
That was one way to do it, you know.
It's worth a shot. I guess you...
Was opened this, right back up, right?
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. You know, I was going to go with, you know what? Fuck him. Yeah. He didn't want to hear that shit.
I'm surprised he boarded the business up. I guess I don't see what his angle was with that, because if they're strong arming and taking over, I mean, obviously they're gonna open it back up, right? They're already saying you're out, so you boarding it up means what? Nothing. So now you just create the situation where you can't even regroup and come back. You just get gunned down on the street, you know?
Yeah. You literally took the worst possible route.
Yeah.
All right, what we're gonna do? We're going to take a quick smoke break, refill our drinks, and we'll be back in a minute.
Shackles to break out of. They cower, solo but mob them and they crowd us. Spilling in the street with heat like hot lava. Pop bottles, molotovs tossed and rocks follow. Ominous disciples like vipers, they strike quickly. Come at me like an army, I'm tearing you down with me. Spit like a baron, rulers of bread like Kaiser. Roll with the goal and get beaten like outsiders. These amateur animals swing in the wrong jungle. Climbing the wrong vines mean these lions will snuff you. Concrete wilderness building our own structures. Lighting our own. Throwing authority, morally lack conscience. Fighting for survival with rivals with throat punches. Court of honor corroded as soon as it was awarded. Celebrations were thwarted before they could be supported. Rolling thunder bombarded and flaming dark put a part in them. Separate and disarm them and send the bulls to the parliament. Operation Niagara, Viet Cong on the battle with. Landmines and grenades and flamethrowers to scatter them. Dear mama, this battle is harder than what we thought it'd be. Every part of me scarred, I'll be recognized when they mortar me.
So much.
almost time to run. Put on your army helmets now. You're running toward the sun with all your guns, defenses down. Flashes everywhere, the lights create an atmosphere. Water in your lungs, you pray for death, but life is here. You're about to die, face it, you're about to die. Zero sand in your glass, fuck it, you can't even cry. Put a dagger to your neck, just to keep yourself in check. Put a dagger to your neck, just to keep yourself in check. Everybody grab a side as you fight to stay alive. Dancing on a hand grenade so you can die and they survive. Silver bullets in the sky, dropping 7 second death. Scattering the children, run, rub until there's nothing left. Ashes in the water, sons and daughters holding flags up high. Wallow in the harbor as the military tanks arrive. Penetrate the border with disorder like an animal. Every war has the honor of turning kings into cannibals.
And we're back. So now he's really got the gang rolling and it's running in his image. They're running all kinds of different scams and schemes. They're fucking running organized crimes. You know, they got rackets. And as the money rolls in, Kid Twist begins dressing like a businessman. He wore tailor suits. He'd wear pomade. He'd put pomade in his straight black hair and put it straight back and shit. He'd always wear fresh flowers on his lapel.
See, going back to that ladies man thing, and think about that. Listen, the ladies had him. He couldn't help himself. Right? That's like 30 or 40 of them hood rats. Right?
Of course. I mean, dude, he's got a fresh flower on that lapel, of course.
Pomade, hair slick back, you know.
And right on cue, despite having his wife at home, his good looks and his underworld prestige made him a hit with the ladies. And that's attention he relished. And he could always be found out on the town at upscale establishments, either entertaining mistresses or looking for new ones.
Yeah.
It's pretty much what he's always doing. He's a 20-year-old mob boss.
Hey.
A ton of money and a wife and a daughter at home.
Yeah. I mean, you figure, though, just in general, I think most women find power attractive, right? And then you have a guy with power, a guy with prestige, and a good-looking guy. Yeah, you're going to have a lot of, you know, ladies at you, and especially back in those days and how we know how gangsters and mobsters work. I don't think it was anybody that didn't have a mistress, right? That was just a part of what it was, but you took care of home, you know, but I don't think any of those guys, everybody had a mistress.
I got a really nice house way over in Brownsville.
Yeah, exactly.
Where you work, Lower East Side, Holmes. He meets and starts having an affair with a Canadian dancer named Carol Terry. And she's smoking hot, entertainer. That's his lifestyle. And they hit it off. And he finds out that she had been talking to this up-and-coming member of the Five Points game named Louis Piogi.
Not Louis P.
Louis Piogi, a.k.a. Louis the Lump.
Okay. Oh, Louis P. sounds way better. I don't know what that lump is, but Louis the P sounds way better.
Dude, so imagine you're with Ike the Blood and Cyclone Louie and Big Jack Z Ling, right? And what's your name? I'm Louis the Lump. The Lump.
And all them motherfuckers scared of Harry.
Okay, Louis the Lump. So in the spring of 1908, Kid Twist and Cyclone Louie, they see Louis the Lump at a Coney Island, like a gin mill, like a little speakeasy spot. And reports vary what happened. But Kid Twist and Cyclone Louie were heard laughing hysterically as Louie the Lump went flying through a second-story window. So the versions of the story are that Louie the Lump jumped out the window.
Mm-hmm.
That they threw him out the window.
Mm-hmm.
Or that they pulled a gun on him and laughed while they made him jump out the window.
I like three better. I like three. It's kind of like the old movies where they shoot at your feet and say dance, right?
I mean, and guys, I mean, just, I know it's going to suck, but if somebody was like, hey, look, jump out the window, I'm going to shoot you. wouldn't you rather be like, all right, fuck it, just shoot me in the head then? Like, well, I don't want to, like, jump out the window. Like, what if you actually, even if you live, but, like, you die a slow death after you hit the ground or whatever? You're like, fuck, man, just shoot me in the head so I just die real quick. Like, if I'm going to die, just cap me. Fuck it. But maybe that's just me. I don't know.
At Who two knows? Stories, though, that was two stories. I would take my chance. Oh, okay. Is that what it was?
Two stories, yeah.
All right, I'll take my chances with two.
Well, Louis the Lump lives.
Okay.
He breaks his ankle and fucks his leg up or whatever.
No, if you get to, like, My probably final is maybe four. Maybe. It might be three. But once I get to about four.
Two, I can.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But if
I think I say that until I look out a window.
If I'm at four, I'm going with you. Said, like, listen, man, that's just too high. Just go ahead and shoot me.
Just shoot me and then just for good measure, just throw me out the window after you shoot me. Then.
Right. And I picture Cyclone Louie. He's got to be in like that singlet, right? With the oversized barbell. Like, you just have him throw him out the window. Right. So Louis the Lump's pissed. So he goes and sees Carol Terry and he's like, what the fuck, man? Why'd you send your boyfriend to beat me up and shit? And she's like, we're done. Don't come talk to me no more and shit. And Louis the Lump does not like that. What
the fuck's he gonna do though?
All right. Get out of here, Louis the Lump. Go limp away, bro.
Yeah.
May 14th, 1908, Kid Twist and Cyclone Louis, they go to the Imperial Dance Club to watch Carol's show. After the show, Carol brings another dancer, and all four of them, they go out to eat at an Italian diner. An Italian diner on the Oceanic Walk. So they leave the restaurant around 8 o'clock, and while they're walking down the street, Louis the Lump jumps out at them. Punches Carol Terry, and then pulls out a gun and just starts opening fire.
Mm-hmm.
Kid Twist was shot once behind the ear and died instantly.
Wow.
Cyclone Louie was shot five times in the body and once behind the ear.
Damn. Now, did Cyclone Louie live?
No.
He died too.
No, they both died.
Fucking Louis the Lump took out the fucking early natural disasters and shit. That's fucking crazy, man.
We should have never been making... You know, Louis, I apologize for everything Louis. I said.
Yeah. I fucked up too. I mean, shit, I was talking mad shit. I thought this was going a whole different direction.
And Carol got hit with a bullet too. But like, she lived. I seen shoulder and leg.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? One of them too. It depends.
But she definitely got punched.
She definitely, everybody can agree, somebody punched the shit out of Carol Terry.
I never, you know, I don't understand, I don't understand, like, and this may sound weird to a lot of people. I understand all the gangster stuff, and I understand fighting for that and everything. I really have truly never understood how people just... fight and kill over women like that. Do you know how many women are out here? Like, I really just don't understand it.
You know how?
How?
It's 1908.
Okay.
So Kid Twist is 24.
Yes.
Louis the Lump is 19.
Okay.
Okay. Yep.
Just fucking young. Dumb, yeah. You know, young, dumb, fucking. They're those guys. That's when boys are the most willing to fucking bang their chest, right?
Hey, did I have my bad guys mixed up? Did we talk about Kid Twist in the last episode, the Edward Anastasia episode?
Yeah, so Kid Twist came up in Anastasia because we talked about Abe Reles.
Okay.
So most people, when they think of Kid Twist, they think of Abe Reles. Abe Reles got his name
Kid Twist.
From Kid Twist's whereabouts.
The other Kid
Twist.
That was the comment, like, who takes their name from a dead bad guy or whatever?
Yeah, so you should have knew right then that he wasn't to be trusted when he took some, mm-hmm. you know, and Kid Twist didn't snitch. You know, mm-hmm. maybe he got a little crazy with the ladies, got himself fucked up, but he was all straight arrow, right, crime-wise and shit, but yeah. Because he had a family in Brownsville. Abe Reles, he comes up in the 20s. So he died in 1908. Mm-hmm. Abe Reles is probably a little kid, right?
Mm-hmm.
Abe Reles is a teenager in like the 20s. He starts really working his way up in the 30s and shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's from Brownsville. So since that's where he had his family, Abe Reles probably thinks, oh, He was a Jewish kid from Brownsville. Kid Twist. I like it. I'm going to take the name and show.
It's funny. I mean, I knew I fucked up when the time frames were so far off from the two episodes. I was like, oh, man, I got my shit fucked up, man.
That's still coming today, though. Like, I mean, people take people's name all the time. I mean, you see it personified in, like, in rappers and stuff like that. Of course, as we know, we've talked about, you covered the real 50 Cent.
Yeah.
Who 50 Cent got his name from. Of course, everybody know Rick Ross. And, I mean, you name it, you know.
Murder, Inc.
Yeah, it you know. And it's popular even with a lot of street names. So now a lot of times what people do, they'll just put, like, where they're from in front of it, you know? So it's like, oh, well, no, I'm this Twist. I'm Detroit Kid Twist, you know? So,
well, I was, look, I was just listening to Scott Bernstein's podcast, Original Gangsters, and he had this guy, Stephen Fishman, who is Southwest Terry's lawyer, on. And there was, we all know Big Meech, who's Demetrius
Flannery.
And, there was just Meech, who was Demetrius Holloway. And they were around the same time.
Yeah.
Like, at the same city and shit. I mean, that's how nicknames go and shit. Yeah.
That's so true. It's just how it is.
But, so, we also covered, off of Elbert Anastasia, we also covered Willie Sutton, who was a bank robber that popped up in that one and shit. And then we got Monk Eastman coming up, too, so... When we first started this, one of the big concerns was everybody said, like, what if you run out of bad guys?
Impossible.
No, because crime is a gift that keeps on giving. So every story you tell, you know, now I want to do a Cyclone Louie episode. Harris Stahl, fucking all kinds of dudes in this fucking bitch.
Plus you figure, like, as you said, it's new bad guys every day, right? But new stories pop up. And it'll be sometimes of old people, but until somebody tells that story... You don't know it. You know, somebody was talking recently about, you know, the movie American Gangster and what was the dude's name that Denzel was representing?
Frank Lucas.
Yeah, Frank Lucas. And it was like, I mean, before that really came out and people started talking about how many people actually knew Frank Lucas. It wasn't a name that you just heard and it was thrown around. Nicky Barnes was, but Frank Lucas wasn't, right? So it's like, even, you know, these things keep coming up, and now we're in the era of everybody wants to tell their story. That's the era that we're in. You know, like, we've talked about this on this podcast before. When you have mobsters and stuff with podcasts and all this stuff, we're in a whole different era. Everybody wants to tell. And so now there's so much for you to grab from this tangible for the podcast, you know?
So Louis the Lump was charged with manslaughter.
I am shocked.
So there is rumors that Louis the Lump didn't kill him by himself. There's rumors that he called his homies at the Five Point Gang and said, fucking Kid Twist and blah, blah, blah. And they were like, you know what? Fuck this guy. And sent a carload of Paul Kelly, who we also covered. And Paul Kelly sent a carload of Italian dudes down to fucking just wrap the whole thing up. And Louis the Lump could just be Limpy Louie. And then a fucking hit squad lays out this whole fucking crew, and he just looks like
he's super assassin and shit. To catch the manslaughter charges and shit.
Well, and then in court, what the lawyer did was they said Louis the Lump is 19 years old, and what they did was they broke out fucking Kid Twist record, and they were like confirmed murder, self defense. No conviction. Okay, this guy's killed multiple people. This guy's a 19-year-old kid. Self-defense, blah, blah, blah. And that's when they're like, okay, so we're not going to call it a murder. We'll call it a manslaughter. We'll call it manslaughter. He did 11 months in Elmira Youth Prison, which...
Oh, okay.
It sounds like it's youth prison, so it's not bad. Elmira's like a... They call it a gladiator academy.
Yeah, Elmira's tough, yeah. I'll say this, though. What the rumor is actually sounds more plausible when you said it, because you got to think he had enough time to punch the lady from Canada and shoot two armed dudes that's known for shooting people before anybody can react and he never gets touched.
Right.
That sounds, you know, that sounds like it may have been at least a couple people.
Like you could maybe sneak up behind them and start unloading. Yeah. Or you could sneak out and sucker punch the girl and then get the shit beat out of you. But you... He's not John Wick where he's going to fast move into a shoulder roll, pop up, pop, 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 pop. You know, you go up on the angle, go center of mass and shit.
Going back to your point, too, you know, we're around, what is this, 1906, I think you said, 1908. Yeah. So, you know, it's not like we got, you know, just really good automatic hair trigger guns, you know, it's like, you know, like that's not happening, right? So yeah, it sounds like it probably was more than one person. But this is
and the thing. He got left to take
the rap. But this is the thing. He did the right thing based on what we talk about on this podcast. Because if they did it for you and you're the person that got caught, you can't say anything, right? You can't snitch.
Well, hey, and then that's when they bring in fucking your super lawyers and shit. You know what I mean? And they
11 months, that's nothing.
I was just gonna say that too. At the end of the you're right. At the end of the day, 11 months, right? For murder. I mean, a dude's dead. Yep. Two dudes dead.
Two dead, yep.
You know, you are the Louis on top for 11 months.
It's funny that you guys say that because a quote from Louis the Lump in court, when they sentenced him to 11 months in Elmira, he said, "I could do that standing on my head."
See?
That ain't the first time we've heard a bad guy say some shit like that. And see, here we were like, "Oh, he don't got a bad record. He's only 19. And he's over here like, "Pooka, hoo, yeah.
I'll do that time, bitch.
I'm 19. Fuck that actress, bitch."
Big Jack Selig took over the gang.
That's somebody we covered too, right?
No, we talked about him earlier.
Okay.
I'm glad he came back up because I did want to say this. He was known as Big Jack Selig. He also had a other big name that I had in the episode ready to go that turns out is a slur. So one of his nicknames was a slur that I almost said on the show.
See? You know that
I just had a feeling for some reason. I was looking at it and I was like, yeah, that doesn't seem right and shit. And yeah, turns out, don't say it on the radio.
There's so much stuff like that. Right. Like, if you remember, GSP got a lot of heat from, he used to wear that bandana. He thought he was, like, paying tribute to Japan. And come to find out, like, whatever the symbolism on the bandana, I forget, it was like a rising sun or something, but whatever the particular one that he had, I guess was like a regime that everybody hate that was like, you know, it's like, and he didn't know. He's think, you know, I'm a martial artist. This is where it came from. I'm paying homage. And, like, he literally had to stop wearing it, you know, on wrapped around his head. And people were like, "Do you know what that is?" Like, "No, I don't. Please educate me."
I remember he did have to stop wearing that shit at some time. Stop wearing it. Big Jack runs the gang for a little bit. Rivalries fire back up with the 5-Point Gang. But Eastman Gang keeps getting less... You know what I mean? They keep going down and down. And it's weird because it's not that the leadership's getting worse. It's just that every time the gang loses, it fractures. You have infighting. You know what I mean? And then you get fractures and infighting. And you just... It's the same thing that happened to the Purple Gang, all of them. You just eventually implode on... What it is, it happens in one generational gangs.
Yeah.
Like Italian gangs, a lot of times their shits, this is like deep-rooted cultural shit that gets handed down to generations. So it grows as time. These one generational gangs, they're one and out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're like, "I'm doing this shit and then I'm done." Selig was considered the last leader of the Monkey Eastman gang. When Kid Twist died, he left his family with $100,000 in assets.
Oh, so well over a million, right?
What year did he...
1908.
A couple million in, right?
Okay,
about three.
Yeah.
Nice.
He did good. You know, he had, what, wife and one child, right? One daughter.
So he had a wife and one daughter. He had a son born 3 months after he died.
By his wife?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. You got to ask that question. You know, he was a ladies' man.
Yeah, you're right. And, I mean, I said damn.
I forgot to mention that part when he's out with the Canadian dancer lady. Yeah. His wife's at home pregnant. That probably should have been mentioned.
Yeah, you just lost all your women listeners with that one. That's a big one.
I didn't
one.
Say it's good. He's on
listen,
the back.
That's a big one. Listen, even if you cheat, that's bad enough. But if you cheat on a pregnant woman, you're pretty much bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, you can't get much worse than that.
Can't get much worse than that. So you just How many listeners did we have? Like 5 women? We have 4 now. 3.
And they ain't happy.
They not happy.
So, his family, his grandkids and great-grandkids, kid twists. So his son that never met him, his family does okay for themselves. He leaves all these assets and stuff behind. His son was actually named Max Zweifach. Okay. Same, exact same name.
Yeah.
He's named after his dad. He changed his name from Max to, he changed his name to Mike Fox.
Okay.
So by the time, now you have the third generation Foxes, and they find out their grandpa's kid twist. So his granddaughter and 2 of his great-grandkids are pretty big like historians or researchers.
That's wild. That's cool.
Tell you what's funny about that with the last name thing, and I know you mentioned that again, you know, in the last podcast, but that's really common, and people don't realize this goes back to what we were talking about, things being difficult in, like, research and everything like that. I don't think people realize how many people just completely change their last name and family history to get away from something, right? And now when you're trying to trace things back, it doesn't add up. And it's funny, many years ago, it's probably like 10, 15 years ago, my family that's from the South traced the whole family tree and the name and everything like that. And the name that we have as our last name is like, it's been changed like 3-4 times to get to that, right? And it's amazing how that happens, and it just makes it difficult for certain things to happen. But a lot of people do it for various reasons. I mean, over the last, you know, probably 15 years, if you remember, that's what they were doing, rounding up people that were in America's, you know, North America, South America, that were, you know, Nazi Germany officials and stuff like that. And they just came over and changed their name. Like, no. My last name is Williams. What do you mean? Like, you know, it's like whatever that, anything that even sounds remotely German, they would just change it. You know, it's like, no, our name is, they just make it something simple. Same way actors do it, you know?
So that's the story of Max Kid Twist's whereback.
So say goodnight to the bad guy. Go on. Last time you're going to see a bad guy like this again, let me tell you.
Before we go, I'm going to plug Fatboy MMA.
Yeah, why not?
I meant to do it at the beginning.
It doesn't matter. So
I can move it to the front.
So, yeah, going, of course, Locke and I do another podcast for MMA, and it is called the Fatboy MMA Podcast. For all the links and everything, just go to links.fatboymma.com and you'll be able to connect to us on social and everything like that. It'll also have the links for whatever you prefer, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, everything's there.
And even if you're a casual fan, you could still go check out the feed, because there's episodes that are like on like Ronda Rousey or, you know, you could just... There's episodes where you could pick a name that you know and just click on that episode. And it's not all your typical MMA podcasts where you got to look at, like, you know, talking about this week's fight. We do that, too, sometimes. But, yeah, you can just pick a name that you know and listen to it.
Good point. And we try to do things also for the casual listener that may be newly joining. So one of the things that we do is we have a point in the series called Gloves and Roses, where we just talk about a person that – may not be well-known, maybe, but it's, you know, a person that we want to give flowers to for some reason, and we just do a whole episode on that individual. So, yeah.
Nice.
All right. Well, this is Say Hello to the Bad Guy. Thanks for coming, and thanks for listening.
Say hello to the bad guy. The good guy coming last place. Smell that dope when I pass by. I let my money at a fast pace. Say hello to the bad guy. The good guy coming last place. Smell that dope when I pass by. I let my money at a fast pace.
We was down bad, my mama had. had to be dad. Spent my birthdays in the trap. We had to work with what we had. She been working on a raise while trying to raise me like a man. Plus my daddy in the box and all my cousins in the cam, man. And I don't need 100 friends. I just want 100 bands, 100 jokes, 100 scams, ay, ay. So I done money grabbed 100 hams. Said out of money, grabbed a bunch of bands. And I ain't wanna fall victim to that system or the pistols. Fuck a judge with a grudge, I'm blowing crud for my mental, ay. And I still keep it on me, run and tell your big homie before you meet your dead homie, ay. Yeah. Say hello to the bad guy, ay. The good guy coming last place. You smell that dope when I passed by, ay. I let my money at a fast pass. Say hello to the bad guy, ay. I just did the dash, hey, in the fast lane. Let my money at a fast pace, look like a drag race. Cut your re-up in my ashtray, I'm in my bag, hey. Good girl, bad face, slim waist and her ass fake, hey. And she in love with the bad guy, hey. But bad bitches never act right, hey. She act up until that bag fly. I did a turn around in one night, hey. Say hello to the bad guy, hey. Good guy coming last place. You smell that dope when I passed by. I let my money at a fast pace. Say hello to the bad guy. Good guy coming last place. Smell the dope.